In this Friday edition, we hear from Isaac Kinney talking about a new venture he is starting. Him and his wife are starting through a nonprofit that they created through the Yurok Tribal Business Codes. His new venture is Watershed Regenerative Ventures. And this is Friday edition. On the phone I have Isaac Kinney.
Hey, Creed. Hello, Nick now, Isaac Kinney. Wage Poos, back to is it Ursha Gert, my own Machat. See Wage Poos. Hey, good afternoon, or good morning still, I guess.
Okay, Isaac, we, on the Friday edition, what we like to do is talk with people who are doing good things in the community or good things in their community, if I happen to be talking to somebody way out someplace else. So anybody doing anything good for their community is what we're looking for. We want to tell some good stories, helpful things. And I got this connection through a mutual friend of ours. My friend says, you got to talk with this guy because he's doing some good stuff and good work in the Klamath River Basin. So we made the connection, and here you are.
Hey, yes, many thanks, Joe, for having me on. KID always has a special place in my heart growing up here locally, listening to the you know, basketball games on the air. These are really pivotal times and real impressionable times for me. So, no, I really appreciate all your work at KIDE. It's been such an inspiration to have people like me, you know, talking about things that I'm interested in, and especially starting local. It's a real big inspiration of all my work that, you know, I'm putting into my new business, and as well as me and my wife, we have a nonprofit. And so that's, you know, I really want to say that's, you know, where it sounds like we're really similar, you know. My work has been a little bit through working in transportation and for my tribe, the Yurok tribe. But then now I'm switching gears after working in philanthropy for Seventh Generation Fund. I'm wanting to see, you know, what does the private sector have? And so my big motivation is I'm so inspired from all the people, not just in the valley, but here in my village downriver. And I also grew up in Salyer too, which has a lot, you know, a lot of people up there that, you know, just have so many things going on. I really just saw a lot of times it was just a lack of, say, capital, or a lack of just a little bit of technical assistance or capacity building. And we could really be cutting edge and innovative in many different ways. So, you know, here we are. This is, I started my business, Watershed Regenerative Ventures, here in Wichpec at the Confluence. So, you know, trying to make sure that when we're talking about different scales of investing, we're looking at a watershed perspective, looking to try and, you know, help start up businesses. What I've learned myself is that, you know, having a balance between philanthropy and business is actually pretty helpful in kind of diversifying where you spend your time. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm still really new at it all. I'm using my experience to kind of pave the way, because I don't really see many indigenous-led investment funds. There are some that are really doing awesome work. If anything, compliment, but I'd hope to collaborate in the future. Yeah, so I started a tribal business here under the Yurok Tribal Business Code called Watershed Regenerative Ventures. So again, looking at ways that sustainability has been one of these fad words that is starting to really kind of not really sure what it's defined, you know. And so I really feel that more regenerative, that word is a little bit more what I'm looking for in a business. And so balancing with the nonprofit, me and my wife started a nonprofit called Tributary Connections. And so we are currently fiscally sponsored from a nonprofit called Nature Rights Council. we've been really focusing on gardens, you know, tree pruning, but then with a lot of the different connections that I've been able to build, you know, helping some of the pandemic response as well.
What I caught right there is the tree pruning. So are you connected with an arborist?
Not necessarily. That's, you know, a lot of the tree work is from my wife. She has a lot of experience. She went to school and got a degree in rangeland resource science here at HSU, and then has worked in Pottawa, which is a community garden, as well as with the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council doing food sheds work. And so her experience is basically, she's the expert on the tree pruning, but I'm getting hands-on experience. So we don't have like a licensed arborist, I guess you could say, but you know, what we're trying to really show in a lot of this perspective with tributary connections is sometimes we just need a little push to get to our dream. Sometimes that push isn't a direct push. Sometimes it's indirect. And with any tributary, it's not necessarily the main waterway. It's usually a complementary waterway, one that goes into a larger one, that goes into a larger one. And so that's the mindset.
Yeah.
That we're really
I can see that. Yeah. And then when everything goes to the ocean and then it recycles again.
That's a big one. The ocean's a big one. You know, no one's really talking about how toxic the tire dust is and how on a micro level, tire dust is the major polluter of our oceans. So when we're talking about trying to regenerate our salmon population, we need to be really, you know, intentional with when we talk about research. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I saw that article about the tire dust and it's how we get about from one place to the other is some kind of a vehicle that has a tire, several tires.
You know how we make things. Again, what I'm looking to try and bring is basically like 3D printers. I've been able to make a connection and hopefully be able to make it work out with the organization called the Fab Labs Foundation. I really would like to encourage anyone to go check out their website. They're doing some awesome things. And so, again, like I said, if we can have a shipment container with windows and we can have our own lab here, you know, I'm sure we can find out how to start measuring it, because that's where, from a lot of the people I talk to, just kind of what you said, where do we start, right? So that's why I'm ready to get, you know, roll my sleeves up and get to work.
So when I was going to the arborist idea, we have a lot of fruit trees on our property. Our land is agricultural, so we want to grow food and vegetables and fruits and nuts, but we are not arborists. So we hire somebody from the outside, and she's very well connected. She has a nice crew of workers, and they climb trees, and they suspend themselves by ropes, and they do some remarkable stuff very safely, very sanely. And there is more trees to trim and prune than she can possibly do. And she's being hired by people further inland. She talks about orchards, old apple orchards, and you just look around a valley, you look around anywhere, and you can see old fruit trees that have not been pruned and have not been taken care of. And all they need is a little tender, loving care, and they're going to be around for another half century or so. So there's no end to the available work that is right here on this land. You just drive down the highway and see how many fruit trees are just alongside the road. What we need is arborists that can, and it really takes some good loving care and see how these trees are growing and actually can direct. But you got to know what you're doing. You got to read the tree.
For sure. It's a big part of it. You know, a big part of what we're really seeing is to rebound as communities during and after COVID. We're really going to need to not be afraid of making new job markets or new job sectors. I've been kind of sharing with a lot of people that, you know, we have to really lean in on this new fourth sector, right? Before it was always public, private, civic with nonprofit industrial complex. But now there's a fourth sector, right? This digital sector that is tied to everybody now, that we're going to really need to beef up locally on jobs, right? How do we start making new jobs in these new sectors so we can still live in our homeland? Because, you know, this migration patterns are coming, and with sea level rise, they're not going to stop. And so we need to really make sure that locally we're able to create local market resilience. And so that's kind of, I appreciate you bringing that up, Joe.
Oh, yeah. I can see.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I can see where you're going on that, because what we originally called, what was the internet was originally called, was a superhighway. And that was a fitting name that people just kind of picked up as, this is nice lingo, the superhighway. But if you dissect that, what does that mean? That means a highway that, okay, we now can get to Eureka easier. It doesn't take us 6 hours. We cut it down to an hour and a half, and
it lets you forget the first highway.
Yeah,
Klamath River, the Trinity River.
Yeah, but that also
that disassociation from nature, that disassociation from our land, is alive and well, and we need to be working on ourselves. We need to be healing ourselves.
I agree, and well, my analogy is that superhighway is just the same thing as the highway 299 and 96. It allowed us to go out, but it also allowed more people to come in. And like you say, the climate change and the raising level of the sea is going to be pushing more populations in. And then we got the technology, this whole new technical medium that we are investing in. The Yurok tribe already made the investment into getting broadband systems operating. Well, that's another avenue of the superhighway. Yes, we can make a lot of connections, but making those physical broadband connections technologically does not automatically raise us out of poverty. It opens the doors for others to come in and to keep us in poverty as employees, rather than what you're talking about is us creating the industry and the infrastructure in the technological age that, well, if you want to join us, you can be a partner with us and help us along, but don't come in here and throw all your instruments and your technologies in and start taking out the resources of our energy to make you rich when we want to survive in our own homeland at a higher economic level and to be able to sustain that and maintain our environment in a healthy manner, because people from the outside just don't have that understanding of, yes, they want the profits, but they don't necessarily care about the environment because they don't live here. That's where I'm going on that. I like what
blinded
you're doing.
By the capitalism, for sure. Couldn't have said it better myself, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been looking at this, and that's what this radio station, which I'm trying to stop calling it radio, because young people think that radio is an old-fashioned technology that's old hat, don't want to use it. But actually what it is, it's audio. It's part of the audio industry. It's an audio tool. Just like cell phones and Facebook and Instagram and all these other technologies that they use in social media, they're audio and they're visual. videos, 50% of the video is audio. If you didn't have the audio, all you'd have is moving pictures. So audio is a basic element of media, of communications. Even when you read something, your brain is hearing it. Your eyes are translating it, but it's creating the images in your mind and the understanding. And it doesn't have voice. It has an inner voice, not an outer voice. So it's kind of like an inner audio rather than an outside audio that you hear from the outside.
We need them both, inside out.
Absolutely, because we're all living beings.
I love that movie.
Yeah, you know, we talk to the animals, we talk with the trees, we listen to the ground. This COVID situation that we're in, and that it's slowing us down and making us look at how we communicate. With the work that you're doing and you're creating, you're on a cutting edge of creating another avenue that others can just don't have to create it. They just need to plug into it and learn from it, learn how to use it, and off they go. And then we build.
And I really want to prepare our young people. The appropriation of indigenous traditional ecological knowledge is very real. And because information is to some people the most important or most valued "quote unquote commodity," we gotta do some, you know, capacity building. We gotta do some homework, and you know that's what it is. You know, we all have our roles, and that's where I'm wanting to just try and help. Yeah, these new jobs has to be a part of that in that good positive way.
Yeah, I can support that, right? And we need those insightful avenues. So hey, look over here.
For sure, yeah. It's a trip. I don't know if I'll ever say I'm glad for COVID.
Oh yeah. I understand that. And that's what that's what this did to us. It just slowed us down. You just said, wow.
And that slow, right? That slow is a very important real time self reflection. You know, that's something that. It's not encouraged by YouTube, right?
Absolutely.
Instagram doesn't encourage self-reflection. It's a different type of, it is self-reflection, but it's a different type. You know, we gotta be careful. You gotta trust the process.
Right.
It's not ours. Natural law trumps any of our laws on paper.
You're looking at opening up another door. And when you open up the door, there's got to be something on the other side to keep people interested and engaged.
Yeah, and again, it's my kids. That's what I've started to learn. If my kids don't understand one of my business plans, it's not a good business plan.
Yeah, you always have to take a look at your monitors.
For sure. I got to just emphasize, we have a lot of the answers to our solutions. We just don't get heard. No, and that's what we're changing. We're getting heard a lot more these days, Joe.
Yeah.
Thanks to people like you and the Hoopa tribe as well. You know, y'all are really doing some awesome stuff too.
No, thank you. You know,
many thanks to y'all. A lot of awesome things. That's where I was like, shoot. As new businesses start around care, not just caring for Mother Earth, but caring for ourselves. Really being able to find the tools to not be afraid to take head on our individual and collective traumas that have been triggered by COVID. You know, that's a lot of work finding this new job market. These new has to be a part of that. Uh-huh. You know, it's fairly new. You know, I'm building it up. You know, it's a learning process, but I feel like I've been able to surround myself with some really awesome advisors, some really awesome, supporters, including my family.
Network.
Okay.
I'm glad we got in touch again.
For sure. Always appreciate your work, man. Thanks for the opportunity to share a little bit about mine.
Oh, definitely. I'm grateful that you're doing your work because I didn't know this element, and we.
Hey, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you. Love it.
All right.
Stay in touch.
Have a good one.
You too. Yep. Take care. And we have been talking with Isaac Kinney, Watershed Regenerative Ventures. You can find out more on his website, watershedregenerativeventures.org, or to tributaryconnections.org. The Friday edition is a production of KIDE, Hoopa Tribal Audio, Hoopa, California. Hosted, produced, and engineered by Joseph Orozco. Music bed by B.C. Smith. Sound cut, It's a Good Day for Breakfast. It's from the movie soundtrack, Smoke Signals. Thanks for listening.